tonight here at WrestleMania 7, ladies and gentlemen. It's Superstars and Stripes Forever. Joining me now, a superstar who makes his living on the fact that nothing, absolutely nothing, lasts forever. I'm talking, of course, about The Undertaker, along with his manager, Paul Bearer. Hey, what do you say, guys? How about this celebration we're having here today, huh? Isn't it great? A great day to be alive, wouldn't you say? This guy must be tall. I'm 6'3". I can't get over it. Now, what are you doing with that measuring tape? Huh?
38.
Oh, come on. Now, look, you don't have to take any measurements. I know we're all getting older, but...
33.
Hey, you know, these guys are serious, aren't you? I think he's serious. Ah, boy. Listen, we're...
27.
But this is a live show. We're dying out here. We really should talk a little bit about, you know, your urn and who's in it and what's going on here. I played some dead rooms before. I hope Alex Trebek is going to have a better time than me. Alex, how you doing? I got to get out of here now.
Not the groin! No! Anyway, how do I look? Tell me.
Oh, you look fine.
We're doing on our show,
who
we're
cares?
Doing the week. See what I mean?
Any advice for us?
Well, yeah, I think you guys could dress better. You know, a little class on the show. Sure. Let me help you out here. Ferb, a little bow tie for you. And for you, Phineas, nice.
Man, have I got the mother of all headaches. Somebody get me a Bromo.
Don't worry. I'll make it all better, Poopsie.
Echidna. Where am I, baby? What's happening?
Well, my gosh. What can I say except, Debbie, you're going to Paris, and this is the final answer heard all around the world. He's won $1 million.
From Chicago, Illinois, the home of dysfunctional government and the highest homicide rates in the nation, this is the Fireworks Brigade, starring Johnny Starr and Ron the Banker. This Pyro podcast is all about the people and the passion of fireworks and is sponsored by Star Fireworks in Fargo, North Dakota. And now, here's Johnny Starr and Ron the Banker.
In a word, Brian, what is this job all about? Fire.
Amazing job. Well done once again. I'm just... amazed.
I felt bad for you, John. Your Regis Philbin, he bit
well,
the dust.
Well, you know, I think I sent you that great picture of me and Regis together.
Did you? No.
I didn't send it to you.
No,
yet.
Where did you get a picture of you and Regis?
Me and Regis down in Florida.
Oh.
And it was really a good picture. I thought I sent it to you on, I thought I sent it maybe a group text or
well,
whatever.
Well, maybe.
Like
I'm
yeah.
Unlike you guys, I actually have a real job, so I was busy that day. Probably,
oh, okay,
so.
Maybe you were busy. We don't know if you're actually busy or not.
I am. Do you know where he was born? He was born in Connecticut.
Connecticut, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's got four kids. He had four children. He's got quite a life. He's always happy, always smiling, that guy.
I like him. You know, he never mentions the death of his son. He only talks about his two daughters.
Did he have a son that died?
Yeah, he had a son that died. So I was always amazed at that. You know, like he never even brings him up or nothing. You never. Most people don't even know he had a son. You know.
No, I honestly, he had four children.
And I don't know he had four. I did. So two must have died. Because he only talks about JJ and Joanna.
Yeah, on Wikipedia it says he has four.
Wow.
So
okay. So wow. Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, yeah. Send me that picture. So this is the Fireworks Brigade. This is the first episode post July 4th, 2020. You know, have you had time to breathe?
You know what? I've been busier now than ever, and I have a lot more work to do. And I will admit that I am taking some vacation time and doing some odds and ends stuff. But for the most part, I'm working a lot of late nights here because I know now I'm not going to China, so that even makes it more and more aggravating. You know.
Yeah, and that was going to be my first question. We'll do our pyro purge. So China is out this year, I think. I don't even know if you're banned from going, but I think some of the restrictions are if you got there, you have to quarantine for 14 days. And
yeah,
I think if someone else on the plane has a fever, you're all going to have to quarantine and you won't be quarantined in the Four Seasons, I don't think.
No, that's what they said. You would, if I came to China, I basically would have to be quarantined for 14 days in a crappy hotel. And I just kind of responded, isn't that what I'm doing now? I thought, I always thought I was in a crappy hotel. And I always, I mean, I'm in the hotel room for 18 wow. hours a day. So I mean, I'm pretty much quarantined, I thought, all these other years when there was no COVID.
What, when's the last time you didn't make that trip?
I don't know. Since been going since what, 2002 or one?
Man,
so,
like almost 20 years.
Yeah,
that's sad. So, did you ever think there would be a time where the China wouldn't allow us to go? You were afraid of us going there? I mean, that's yeah. just crazy.
Well, that's what someone said. You know, a Chinese guy says your president is almost making it impossible for us to get there. I'm like, well, your president isn't doing much better because
yeah,
according to what I
need to blame.
According to what I've heard is that my 10-year visa, which I paid for, is no longer valid. So that means I would have to apply for another visa, pay more money and everything else. So, you know, it's basically, you know, on both sides of the fence. And but, you know, once again, you know, the disease came from China. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
we know where it came from.
Yeah. And but you're in contact with China all the time. And you yeah. know, this is a virus podcast, so we probably don't need to talk about coronavirus. But it's, you know, it takes up everybody's time these days. You've been in touch with China so much. I mean, do, are they still under all
no.
this quarantine? They're just open
no,
wide.
They're living normal.
Are do they still have cases? Is it just is it do you think, and because you're usually pretty sharp on this stuff, do you think it's a factor of just America is just so we're overreacting and we have an election coming up, you know, and my dad would say it's the Democrats, you know, trying to make Trump look bad and all this stuff. Or are we really mishandling it? Is there, should we be worried about all these cases?
Honest,
somewhere in between?
Okay. Here's my take on it. In the beginning, I was all on top of it.
Yeah. I remember
because,
we were talking about this
because
in your
I know what they
in,
went through in China. And I said that it would be ugly here because as Americans,
we don't like to stay.
We're
home.
Not going to you well, not because we're not a communist country. So you can't really
right.
impose a lot of things on us. And then you always have the rebellious type. So
right
there, their company, you know, our countries, it's, you know, it's communistic and it's fear. And when their government puts something in place, people listen and they have
right.
to listen. I mean,
right.
you know, it's prison time or whatever. I mean, it's a big thing. So I was all in. I was all on top of it. From day one, I thought it wouldn't be as bad because I fear between our water, our cleanliness, our you know, the way we do laundry and the way we bleach and the way we do things and just our living standards.
Right, but this is spread more by
are a lot better. Yeah. So I just thought maybe it wouldn't be as bad if there were. I mean, I knew it was going to be bad, but I thought maybe we might get lucky
right,
like we do
right.
with the swine flu. It never
yeah.
really, you
no,
know, hurt
no,
us that
right.
much. So obviously this has turned out way bigger than even the Chinese, I think, thought, you know, now it's worldwide. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, but the way the Chinese did it, they did a very good job because they shut everything down. So you couldn't go from Libertyville to Schiller Park. You couldn't go out, you know what I mean? So,
right.
so they did a great job, but we couldn't do that. So was it mishandled? No, I think it was handled the best as it could for America.
Right. Let's face it. If somebody like Trump would have tried to shut us down even more, you'd have the Democrats.
Oh,
oh, they would
yeah.
have. They, I mean, they were trying to get on him when he tried to shut
yeah.
it down. I remember being in Cabo with you reading my phone when the alert came up that nobody was able to fly from China. And
yeah.
people got on him for that, thinking he was racist or whatever the heck they accuse him of. And
you
and
know.
Obviously, you know, maybe you should have done it sooner.
Yeah. And, you know, and then you also have, you know, and people forget these things. And I'm not, and it's not about politics. It's just different through the course of all this, how they flip flop. You had Nancy Pelosi in California at a Chinese restaurant saying, come to the, you know,
right.
don't
right.
be racist towards the Chinese because they don't have Corona.
Right.
And then next, you know, LA and San Diego is shut down and, you know, and then sure, then they're saying that, you
right.
know, Trump handled it wrong or whatever. But you can't blame anyone for disease. But the way I look at it right now is I honestly, in my heart of hearts, think it has become a lot more political.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, they don't want to let this go, especially in Illinois here. Between the governor and the mayor of Chicago, it seems like it's became like You know, and I have rare footage on my telephone of what's his name?
I'm afraid to ask.
The big Governor Pritzker hanging out in Lake Geneva like nothing's going on.
Oh, really?
You know, we do know, in fact, that he sent his family to Florida when the beaches opened up.
Yeah, we know.
So I'm just saying, so it's like, you can't yell at me. Like, my friend is a big germaphobe, and he's really cautious about this, and he has not even eaten inside a restaurant other than twice, and both of them times been with me, and he's aggravated about that in itself. But, and that's great. But the bottom line is, if you're that worried about it, like our governor seems to appear to be, and you got to stay in, then you wouldn't do this with your own family.
Right.
So that being said, obviously it's not do as I say, not do as I do. But I think here, I really honestly believe it's become more of a political stranglehold, and let's make the other party look bad and make
right and the election coming
good.
Up doesn't
election
help.
Coming up, and then we're just gonna prove how bad the economy is,
and then
because,
the riots and
and then we had the riots. So I mean, but right now I honestly, you know, I the mortality rate has never been there.
It's like 3.03, right?
I mean, like yeah. I mean, the mortality rates never been there. Plus, we know the numbers are really obscured because the hospitals get paid for it, so the numbers are obscured.
Right.
I'm not sure if I told you about a relative that signed up for the COVID testing. He was coming from Arizona.
A relative of yours.
To Chicago. Yeah, he was coming from Chicago. He was coming from Arizona to Chicago. He thought, well, maybe, you know, he's got a wife and kids. Maybe we should just get tested. You know. So they signed up for the test. It's about 2.5 hour wait. After about 1 hour and 15 minutes, they decided, you know what, this is
right.
We don't have the time for this. We just let's go and be done with it. Forget about it.
Right.
A week later, they got a letter in the mail saying that they tested positive for the coronavirus.
Somebody else told me this story, so you're not the only one.
Yeah. So that being said, because I'm sure everyone who applies for that test and everyone that tests positive, I bet there's some type of money funded to them. As I'm coughing here.
Yeah, right.
I probably got it. There might be some money. I don't know. Maybe there's some money funded for everyone who took the test and tested positive.
Yeah, maybe.
And if you didn't stick around for the test,
they just march as positive.
I mean, so, you know, the numbers are not, I don't care what anyone says, the numbers are wrong. You go on the CVC website.
CDC.
CDC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Center for
Disease Control.
Center for Disease Control.
Yeah. You go on their website, and you'll see the numbers going down.
The
down
death
and
numbers.
Down. No, the virus numbers. Okay?
But I thought every state is spiking.
Well, I know, but that's why I say go on the website. Because if you go on the website, you see at the height, and then you see down, you know, as a world, nationwide, I guess.
Well, yeah. Well, there's nationwide, there's worldwide.
Yeah, so I don't, which one they showed me. So basically what I'm saying is you see those numbers going down, but yet, oh, spike in cases. So we have a spike in cases. I need some water.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll play a song. We'll be right back.
Show, and now he's hushed by a clock radio.
All right, well, yeah, we're back. All right, so let's pick up where you left off. Go ahead.
So basically, yeah, we were talking about the, you know, whole thing, the coronavirus. I think people are getting funded in different ways for this.
Right.
But it just seems like, you know, and then, you know, we had talked about, I really take offense when someone tells me it's the new norm.
Well, yeah, I do.
And that really bothers me because, no, this is not the new normal. Get on with your life. Get on with stuff. You know, a spike in cases, let's shut down the bars. Oh, you know, how about the business owner buys the liquor, now we're shut down, now we're open. You just can't keep flip-flopping.
No.
And by you shutting down the bars, let's take, you know, of course you never see these numbers, but how much population is actually in a bar, in bars, to shut them down, but let's not shut down Walmart. Let's not shut down Bed Bath & Beyond, whatever else. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like you're singling out certain areas.
Well, they're just picking on it because it's considered non-essential, right?
Yes, but I don't know what that is going to do to make cases go down.
I don't think you can.
You can't.
I think that's your point. You can't. You just can't. And you got to let it ride it out. I mean, if you have a good immune system, you're fine. You know.
But if you don't have a bad immune system, by all means, stay home.
If you have a bad immune system, right. Stay home.
Wear a mask. Wear gloves. I wore gloves. I wore a mask. I did everything because I didn't know what I was dealing with.
Right.
Now that I know what I'm dealing with, now it pisses me off that I got to put a mask on. Because, you know, I'm not in fear for my life, you know. And
there's a lot of people who are.
And, yes, and then by all means, they should stay home.
Right.
And, you know, people say, well, out of respect for others. You know what? I'm tired of hearing that. Because, obviously, once again, if you're that worried about it, you shouldn't be around me. You should be at home.
Right.
And you don't let me come over. I'm all in favor of if I tell, hey, Ron, I want to come over. Like my tax lady, I'm not comfortable sitting down with you right now. She doesn't understand this will be her last year of doing my taxes because you're not comfortable sitting down with me.
You're in breach of bank.
You've talked to me you've talked to me 1,000 times.
Right.
I've never been sick. Whatever, but I think now people are starting to use this as an excuse.
Oh, yeah, there's many people. I mean, I see it in my daily life as a banker. Yeah, people use it as an excuse. It's hard to get things done.
So. Yeah, and I don't want to be one of those saying, the excuse of my taxes not being done is because COVID-19, but basically it is because someone else is using it as an excuse.
Right. So let's bring it back to fireworks. So now that your China trip is canceled and your inventory is somewhat depleted.
Yes.
What's going to change? I know you have a solid approach or solid relationship, obviously, with the Chinese, but what's going to change in your approach? I guess the wholesalers, they're going to depending on you to get the product in. So what can you tell them?
Well, I'm working diligently almost every night, and we've got a lot of cases ordered already, bought a lot of stock items. And I'm trying my best. I just, be honest with you, I'm not a video guy. So it's really going to be tough for me this year because I really don't like videos. I don't like watching them. I tried. I watched about 15 videos the other night.
And, so do you just stock up on the old tried and true?
Well, I'm doing that, but I still need to get new stuff and, and.
So the biggest question is, will we be able to have a 100th episode anniversary cake? 100 shot cake for the fireworks brigade.
Yes, sure. We will be able to have.
You need 100 shot though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's plenty of 100 shot cakes out there. Oh, for something. I mean,
I got a label.
Oh, you got the label. That's the main thing.
I got the label.
The label's good because as I'm working on a few labels we had talked about. We're not gonna let the cat out of the bag, but
I got a label for it.
So yeah.
Right. So, but I mean, so do you buy the old tried and true ones, or do you try and experiment with
new
ones?
Well, no, there's staple items that immediately, you know, put those orders in June. And then there's some other people. I mean, China's begging me to call me every night, every night. I can't even have a break because I'm trying to, for the most part, I got everyone out of the way. I'm trying to clean up a few of these last balances to get these people cleared up and paid. Not only am I sending money out to pay them, but they want deposits on the stuff I already ordered. So I'm trying to get like things done. So I really want to put a standstill on ordering right now until I can, let's get this done first. And then let's start working on the orders, you know?
Right.
But I've had to like do both, and it's just been, so I'm not putting as much thought into the ordering, which I need to do, you know?
No, right.
And so, yeah, it's been a little bit, frustrating. And then there's some nights I just clearly don't feel like working, you know, and I don't, you know, so,
well,
yeah, it's,
well, you worked a lot, you know, yeah. I mean, we've always talked about how fireworks is hyper seasonal. So you're hyper, your time is, I mean, you worked 20 hours a day, 18 hours a day for a month and a half.
No.
I've never seen you in the warehouse during 4th of July season till 4:30 in the morning pulling orders for wholesale.
Yeah, it was
I
crazy.
Mean, usually you're in the warehouse, you're in the showroom by 2 or 3 because you're open till
2.
2. So usually see you there at 1:30 and we even have time to do a podcast or whatever, but you had literally zero time because you were pulling orders for wholesale. So, but I guess at the end of the day, wholesalers, you know, shouldn't be worried, but you know, you'll get your stuff in. You have your good connections there, and it'll come in. And maybe there won't be as many new items this year, but you know, there'll be plenty of items for next year.
Yeah, there's plenty of items. Like I say, and not to mention, we are sitting on a great host of inventory as well. So we have a ton of inventory. We've sent out over 30 some lists, updated lists to people.
Oh, okay. If they want those, they can just go to Star Fireworks and call Dino and ask for it, right?
There'll be three containers are on the water now, one landing this week, and then two are on the water. So we got three more coming in. And, you know, so we keep a rotation basis of fireworks coming in. So I'm not that worried. Like I say, with the new items, you know, will they make it? Will they not? I don't know. You know?
Right.
The factories are gearing up. They're closed right now, but they are gearing up. So when they open up, you know, it's going to be going boom, gangbusters. Yeah. We just got to hope that, we don't have any more COVID cases in China.
And
no more explosions. That's the key. Yeah.
And I think you'll agree because this year it was so busy and it was such a great year and a lot of novice people bought fireworks. And we can talk with Steve Hauser later in this episode, the president of NFA, about this, but I haven't really seen any injury statistics or anything that would suggest that people got hurt. So with fireworks being so aware of it, next year probably is going to be a good year as well because you got to keep up that momentum. You got to try and ride it out. So be prepared and be stocked.
Oh, yeah. I think we got a very good boost to the fireworks industry. Overall, like I say, a lot of people throughout the years I've talked to, they said, I'm just going to go to the town shows. They're the professionals. Let them do it. It's easier. But now with all them shows being canceled, these people might have realized, wow, you know what? This isn't that bad. And this was a lot of fun. And, you know, because you get out of it, it's a habit. You get out of the habit and you forget about it. But then you realize that, hey, this was kind of fun. And we didn't have to park a block away. We didn't have to load up the strollers. We didn't have to do all this stuff. So, you know what? At the end of the day, I think this is a very good boost. I'm not saying we're going to see the same numbers next year as we saw this year, but we will see a bump in sales probably from the last time it would be on a Sunday, right? It's going to be on a Sunday this year.
I believe
year.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, so 2021, I'm going on record right now, and in all of my predictions, including the coronavirus, have all come true.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
You know,
yeah,
so I'm going on record right now, 2021. Sales on a Sunday will be higher than, which would be what, 2016 would be the last time it was on a Sunday, correct?
Yeah, I would have to look at the sheets.
Well, if Saturday was a 2015, would it go backwards or forwards? I forget.
I don't know.
It would go forward, I think. So if 2015 was on a Saturday, then I believe 2016 was on a Sunday.
Probably.
And then, so my prediction is 2021 sales will be higher than 2016 as as we did a comparison, as you did,
right,
a comparison of 2020 compared with 2019,
yeah,
which was great, but you know, we, like you say, we have to allow for the Saturday 4th of July. So then when we went back to 2015,
and it was,
we were still incredibly higher.
Right.
So we're going on record right now. 2021 will be much better than 2016, and wholesale will be up because I know everybody's got to replenish.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, and like I said, we have an interview with Steve Hauser and Larry Farnsworth from the NFA. So before we get to that, John, though, I got one thing for you. Ready? A little, yes. What would Johnny do?
Okay.
All right, we haven't done this in a while. So.
What would Johnny do?
And this is actually related to fireworks as well. So as we're sitting here in my palatial Glenview rental, you know, if you look behind you, we got a courtyard out there. It's an association, right? There's a little gazebo out there, a nice little,
very nicely kept. This
yeah,
area.
Nice, very. Very, very nicely kept. That's where I'm going with this. So, 4th of July, you know, I was with you. I'm with you on the 4th in Fargo, and 5th, I come home. I can't wait to get out of here. There,
yeah,
I,
we
I,
know. Yeah, I the leave numbers at, go completely bonkers when
I
you
leave at like 3 a.m, so I'm home by noon or 1 o'clock in the afternoon because I like to, you know, get the back home. And actually, this year I was going to see our friend's show, so I wanted to make it home in time, which I did, which was great. Great setting. We can talk about that for a minute if you want. But here's my what would Johnny do. So I you're always good with like you're always good with consulting with people how they should interact with other people. I still go back to the time where you wanted me to invite you to Thanksgiving dinner with my ex-in-laws so you could tell them. You could tell them what to
basically
do.
Basically, straighten them out.
Straighten them out, right. Those are your exact words. So
yeah.
I'm coming home on the 5th of July. I get here about 1 in the afternoon, pull up to my garage, my driveway, and I have all the podcast stuff, my luggage, everything in the back of the truck, my pickup truck. I open it up. There's a guy right out in front, right by the wooded area is, like, you know, all the lawn and the stuff. And he's sweeping up, obviously, fireworks debris.
Oh.
Never met the guy, never said a word. He never said hi, never introduced himself. I've been here for almost a year, but, you know, I was whatever. So it's a rental. So I didn't really care to meet anybody. Pauline, though, my girlfriend, she's fiance, she talked to him, she knew him, and she's been kind of making the rounds and meeting people is what she does. So I get here, the guy is obviously cleaning a fireworks, he's obviously mad, never spoke to the guy. His first words out of his mouth is, what are we going to do about this, Ron? And I'm like, well, Jesus, the guy never said hi to me, never introduced himself, and now he's like confronting me like with some conflict here. I was like, excuse me? He's like, what are we going to do about this? I go, what are we going to do about what? He goes, well, there was obviously some fireworks here last night. I go, okay. I go, I was in Fargo. I was gone for like a week. I have no idea what went on here last night. Uh-huh. And he's like, well, I think it was Pauline. I go, okay. I go, well, if you leave it, I'm sure she'll clean it up if it was hers. And then he lectures me for the next 10 minutes about the bad things that fireworks can cause. You know, it makes the dogs go crazy. You know, it can burn the roofs. You know, it can burn the trees. You know, people can get hurt. Shoot, there. I'm thinking, do you know how ironic this is? You're telling me about what fireworks can do. If you want to come upstairs, I can show you metal signs about 50 podcasts I've done on fireworks. So anyway, so I was just like, oh, whatever. I said, I'll talk to Paulina, you know, whatever. If she did, whatever. I'm sorry, you know, whatever. She should have cleaned it up. So I come in the house. You know, Pauline was taking a nap, and I'm like, what did you do? And she's like, what? And I'm like, you know, she's like, I cleaned it up. Well, obviously, she didn't clean it up good to this guy's liking. So I was like, you know, now you're making us look like the white trash of Glenview here. So I go, whatever. So, and then I never spoke to the guy again. But I mean, so what would you do if a guy confronted you like that? And so, you know, guy you never talked to, and he just comes up and he says, what are we going to do about this?
First of all, he would say, what are we going to do about this? I would have done what I've sometimes always do. I kind of look behind me, you know.
Yeah.
Like he's talking to somebody else and not me. And
yeah, and you're like, well, what do you mean?
And I would have basically said, what do you mean? And then if he went into fireworks and all that and about this and say, I'd say, do I look like I'm 12 years old to you? If I wanted to come home,
right,
back to my house, which I pay dearly for,
right,
to listen to someone tell me and ask me what I should do and get lectured,
yeah,
believe me, I don't need that.
I think he's the head of the association.
Yeah. So yeah, what I would have told him was, if I were you, I would continue sweeping and leave me alone because I'm in no mood to be lectured from you.
I just drove 9.5 hours. Yes. Yeah.
And if you want to know about firework safety, you can join my podcast and find all about firework safety.
Give me your email address. I'll send you a link to our YouTube
exactly.
channel.
Exactly. Yeah, I was having a link to the YouTube channel. But see, you know, I don't know. I guess because when people say something to me, I'm like, okay.
You know? All right.
Because I'd never lecture anybody about anything.
Well, right. And I would be uncomfortable lecturing somebody I'd never spoken to before.
Yes.
The guy never said a word to me, and his first words out of his mouth were literally confrontational.
I know. I don't. That's what I don't like about. It seems lately, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems lately everybody wants to try and tell me what to do.
Everybody's up on, you know, got their.
Yeah, but I don't ever, you know, I could drive with you. You could go over a curb. You could run over a goddamn tree. You'll never hear me say anything.
You don't like driving with me because I drive too slow.
Well, you drive
and
too
I
slow.
Make left right turns when I should make left.
Yes, but I don't. But I don't question you. I don't say make a right turn left here. What are you doing in this lane?
No,
I don't say get over this lane past the guy like
no,
some people
no,
do.
You're right. You're right.
So you know, and I don't tell anybody what to do. When people even ask my advice, I'm like, I can give you my advice, just like when we say, what would Johnny do? You know, I tell him you don't have to take it, but, you know, if you want my advice, I'll tell you because I'm never going to offer you my advice. I'll never offer anybody advice unless you ask me because I don't like to tell people what to do.
Yeah.
But I just don't like this confrontational attitude people seem to have lately about, you know, and I don't know if I told you a story or not, because I've told it several times to other people, and I forget who I spoke to. But, you know,
right.
I had a confrontational thing that I started with somebody as well. And the only reason I started it is because, A, I don't believe in it. B, I don't like when people put big signs up on their front lawn.
Oh, you told me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I don't like people who put signs on their front lawn because they're already projecting what they believe in to masses.
Well, it is a free country. You have the freedom of speech.
I agree. So that's why.
You had the right to tell him you didn't like his signs.
And that's why I told him. But normally I wouldn't do that.
No.
You know, normally if he spoke to me and said something, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. But because he was projecting out in my neighborhood what he believed in, then he should also be respectful for people like me who are going to, you know,
don't like the message.
Call him out on his stupid action.
Right, right.
You know,
and I know the sign you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think you have a problem with the message per se, just the organization.
No. Yeah.
And which a lot of people.
And
are the
so that's way. Why I kind of let him in. But normally I'm very non-confrontational because
me as well.
Yeah.
Me as well. So do
but
you think,
lately it seems like a lot of people are just maybe it's the whole
it's
thing.
It's social media. It's CNN. It's social
it
media.
It stirs up a lot of people's feelings.
It's,
and since I don't have any of this in my life, or do I even watch the news for the same purpose? That's probably why I'm non-confrontational.
Yeah. I stopped reading the newspaper.
Oh,
I read books now when I'm at the health club, and I read a couple of good books lately. And
have you been to the health club?
I have.
And are you're not wearing a mask at the machine?
No.
But you have to wear a mask as you're walking from the machine.
Right. And my health club is you can only make an appointment, and it's only they have 2-hour, 1.5-hour intervals. So like it starts at 5, so you can go 5 to 6:30, 7 to 8:30, 9 to 11:30. You can make it. You have to make a reservation, so they don't want too many people in there. You go in a separate door. They ask you if you're feeling okay today. They check you in, and you say yeah, and then they let you in. There's no towels. There's a locker room, but there's no lockers. Everything's closed off. You can go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. They got rid of the air dryers. Now they have paper towel. But they ask you to wipe the machine down before you use it, and when you're done, and you have 1.5 hours.
Wouldn't the air dryers be safer?
No, because they just blow the crap everywhere. The paper towel is way, way more hygienic.
Okay, because I think if someone put the paper towels in there, and then they're, you know,
The air dryers are just more for the the environment.
Yeah, the environment.
Yeah.
But I thought that would be safer just because one's touching the, no one's handling the actual paper.
Yeah. I mean, the two things that are bugging me about, and actually I was there this morning at 5:30 and I asked her, I was like, you know, can I ever come twice a day? Because it's literally half a mile from here. And especially now, you don't want to watch TV at night. I was like, I'm going to go back to the health club. I would do that. Even when there wasn't COVID going on, I would go at night just to, because,
burn
off some steam.
Thing.
I mean, I don't spend that, but they don't let you go twice a day. And I was like, why can't I come twice a day? Are you full the rest of the day? She goes, no. I was like, well, I'd like to come twice. Can we make that happen? And then they're not open on Sundays. So I think they have limited staff, I think, is what the problem is. So they didn't bring back
everybody. See, mine has shut down. My showers are open. Towels are there.
Our showers aren't open.
Yeah, showers open. Towels are there. Steam room, the hot tub, and the sauna is closed. You have to wear a mask to and from everything. But then when you're on the machine, you don't have to.
Same thing.
And
the machines are closed down every other one.
Yeah, the hours are cut down a little bit by about an hour.
Yeah.
My health club is so gigantic that I don't even think they even had to move the machines. And if they did, it would be fine because it would help fill the space up, basically.
Right.
I don't think the basketball court's open.
Probably not.
I do believe the walking track. So I haven't been there yet. I've been kind of staying. You see, once again, like I say to myself, you know what? I'm just going to stay away from that a little bit just to see what's going on. You know what I mean? So, and that's what I mean about people. Like, if you're like, I'm unsure about the health club, I stay away.
Yeah.
I don't say, hey, close that health club down.
No, it's my right to go, and they're open. And to me, the health club was such a big part of my life that I could not wait to go back.
Oh,
me
either.
When I was with you in Fargo, I would go to the gym in the hotel every morning.
Yeah.
And then I knew it would the gyms would be open here. So it was like and I just feel there's no number. I feel infinitely better every morning if I work out in the morning. For those 4 months or whatever it was when I wasn't working out in the morning, I was miserable. And you feel just slow and your back would start hurting, your legs would start hurting. I'm like, I gotta get to a gym. And I can't walk. I mean, I can walk or try and jog out on the streets, I guess, but you know, just being in the gym where it's
I guess I really enjoyed Fargo for that reason as well. I got a great workout. I was so busy that I didn't have time to watch TV, nothing. I was like the boy in the bubble. Didn't really care what was going on outside my little bubble because I needed to focus on what I needed to focus on. I was getting plenty of exercise, camaraderie. We had no masks. It was just like nothing ever happened.
Right.
And then I come home here and it just all starts up again. And I think that's kind of why it really killed me.
Right.
But I am staying away from the health club, but I probably will go back this Monday. I'll probably start back again and see what it's like.
Do you know if the health club in the office that you have here is open?
I don't know. I was going to stop there. I was going to stop down there the other day and I didn't do it.
And just because I know, going back to my story, I know she'll ask. So was I being... What would Johnny do? If that happened to your spouse, if that happened to Michelle, would you call her the white trash of Glenview and say, what are you doing lighting fireworks off? Or would you just let her go?
No, I would say far from white trash. I would say far from white trash. You're the more elite here because all these other cheapskates aren't doing anything.
They're not cheapskates. They're just all, hoity-toity.
Well, they're hoity-toity cheapskates. They are. Because they don't want to see.
Pauline just wanted to have fun.
They don't want to have fun here in this town.
She only
did
one. She shot one. She shot one off, and the guy the one thing is though that there's a house right in the corner here that's been for sale and it's like foreclosure, and she's been looking at it. After that happened, she's like, I would never want to live here. I was like,
no,
okay, there you go.
Some of these areas, they get a little bit too big for their britches.
It's always
been this way.
He's the president of the Homeowners Association.
Yeah, and then once again, he's on a power trip, Now, if he would have said to me, it probably wouldn't have came out first. But later on in the conversation, I would have probably told him, I'm a magician. I can make that broom disappear if you like me to. So, I would have said something like, one more word out of you. I'm a magician. Make that broom disappear.
It's so ironic as he's lecturing me on the pitfalls of fireworks. I was like, you have no idea.
Yeah.
I open the garage door and there's boxes with the 1.4 label sitting there, because Pauline bought a bunch of fireworks and she sold some to some of her coworkers and stuff. And she had one left over that she wanted to shoot off. And I mean, I felt bad for her. I mean, you know, but, and I said, next time, just clean up the whole thing, for God's sakes. But, you know, she would have seen it in the morning.
Things blow in here and there. And you know what? And you have landscapers that come here. He just wanted to be like the martyr. Yeah. Oh, I got to go out and sweep all this. No, you don't have to sweep nothing. You know what I mean? And and I would have told them, if I was the president of the association, why, what are you sitting out here with a broom? Hire somebody. We pay. That's what we pay for.
The landscapers will get it.
Exactly.
Exactly. It, or the rain will get it. Next time it rains, it'll
be
gone.
And he's just looking for something to complain about.
On July 5th.
And I would have, you know, I would have said there's fireworks all over the place. Get used to it.
Around here, there actually are. Not in this little cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
but
there's fireworks. There's more fireworks all over the whole United States.
Yeah.
I would have said, and what are you worried about? Get used to it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, so. I would have probably said something. Why? Did you want some? I can sell you some.
I got some in the garage.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do another one.
Let's do it.
I probably would have lit one off the next night, you know?
I got the what was the one we shot off in the daytime with the smoking gun.
I got
a smoking gun. Yeah. We could go
but
there.
Especially, certainly not the white trash neighborhood. You're like one of the guys that say, hey, this is a nice little area. Let's have some fun.
Right.
And the Glenview Police Department didn't come out and say anything, so why should this guy?
Well, yeah, right.
And that's what I would have said. I would have said, you know what? Glenview Police Department didn't seem to mind, and why do you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well.
And we could give him medicine for that dog, too, if he wants. Whatever he needs, whatever he's got money to buy, we can sell him.
Well, Steve Houser was on CNN, John.
Wow.
And on the 4th, actually, while you and I were working. So he talked all about the safety of fireworks. So let's take a break and let's get Steve Houser on the phone. And Steve and Larry Farnsworth, and we'll do a video chat too so people can watch it on the YouTube channel. But I think Steve wants to talk to us about Expo, and maybe we'll go through some of the other stuff with that happened over the 4th and stuff like that. So
perfect.
All right,
sounds awesome.
All right.
Yep. When you don't take advantage of Star Fireworks curbside pickup, your 4th of July is ruined. When your 4th of July is ruined, you get irritable. When you get irritable, you lose friends. When you lose friends, you shop online. When you shop online, you purchase Dill Pickle Lip Balm. When you purchase Dill Pickle Lip Balm, you fall in love and marry a cucumber farmer from Michigan who buys a Chrysler. Don't buy a Chrysler. Shop at Star Fireworks and take advantage of the curbside pickup.
Star Fireworks is located right off I-29 at the Wild Rice exit. If the sign out front doesn't say Star, keep driving.
We've talked at length about the goofy season that it was and the challenges. And Steve had his premiere on CNN talking about safety. So with all the novice pyros out there this year, is there any glaring safety issues? Have you heard anything back? Is everyone, you know, everyone got 10 fingers and 10 toes?
That's been the best part of this so far. You know, there haven't been, you know, lots of reports about injuries. You know, I think a lot of the people that were new to fireworks, I think they really paid attention to reading the directions. You know, it's like if it's your first time doing something, you're probably a little extra cautious because you're like, okay, we haven't done this before. What do the directions say? What do the instructions say? How are we supposed to do this? And I think people took those to heart a little bit more. But considering the massive uptick in consumer fireworks use this season, I didn't get any calls. I mean, you know, I'm a wholesaler distributor. And the one thing that I always, you know, dread is that, you know, you may get a call from somebody where somebody got hurt or injured. And this year, thank heavens, I never got a call. And we sold a lot more fireworks this year than we ever have. And everybody did. So, you know, I haven't heard any I kind of watch the news reports and I get some feeds and some emails that I've kind of tied into safety related stuff. And I just never saw it. So, you know, I hope that that was in fact the case. But, you know, we tried to, at the NFA, be very proactive in making sure people would communicate a safety message. And that was the whole point of the CNN thing, which actually, you know, worked out real well because the goal was to communicate the need for safety and the need to use them legally. And that was, You know, we'll take any platform we can to get that message out. And CNN, hey, face it, big platform. And, yeah, and it worked out well. You know, it got a message out. It got a safety message out. And that was very important.
Yeah, we did, Ron, we did. I spent a majority of pretty much the entire month prior to the 4th of July just doing media interviews all day, every day, talking about firework safety. I think in collectively we had over 1,200 media hits where the NFA was quoted in New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Steve was on CNN, we had NPR. So we were all over the place. And by far the best media performance that the NFA has ever had. But, you know, all of those, as I was kind of going through cataloging and creating the spreadsheets, kind of like sending out to the board and everything, all of them included the word safety in it. So, you know, a lot of people were talking about, you know, why is everybody shooting off fireworks and how come, you know, what are you going to do about it? Or there's record firework sales. And, you know, we were just talking, you know, like, well, hey, you need to step back for a second and realize that yes, the coronavirus is a big part of it. But, you know, every time that there's a 4th of July on the weekend, we always see increased sales, and it's on the weekend. So we're going to have people shooting on, you know, Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday. And that's why it's important to talk about safety. And, you know, they always would be like, oh, designated shooter, that's a good idea. And so what else do you have? And so that's just kind of how those things came about. So it was important. It was good for us to get that message out.
What about you, John? Aside from the occasional forklift crashed into the garage door,
yearly event.
Yeah, that's I see the invoices. Another
seems to be a pretty much yearly event there.
Into the garage door. Did you notice any safety issues? Anybody call?
No, we had no calls at all. We had quite a few calls thanking us and really wow, those were great fireworks. I had a great time, so we got a few of those emails and a lot of calls. So that was good. No damages, very few duds. So that was good. I think we received like 12 items back, and, you know, which was nothing compared to all the amounts we sold. So that was good on the retail side as well. So, yeah, I think all in all, it was a pretty good year for me. Obviously wholesale is going to be up next year because everybody ran out this year. So we're going to see a increase in wholesale next year. For everyone to replace everything. We got a lot of calls right after the 4th of July replacing everybody's merchandise, so that was good. And then I think, I don't know about you, Steve, but I actually think that this is a boost that the fireworks industry needed, because over the years, to me, it's been getting kind of flat and kind of stale. And yeah, we got our spikes on the different days, but I think this is a good boost to the industry. Because maybe people will realize next year, you know what, instead of going to the town show, this worked out better. The kids went to bed when they wanted to go to bed. We didn't have to park two blocks away and walk with the strollers and blah, blah, blah. You know, because a lot of people I talked to over the years, you know, it was like, nah, I just go to the town shows. They do a good job and I'm blessed with it. But, you know, sometimes they forget over the years how much fun it is to really do it in your own backyard or do or have your family participate. So, yeah, for those of them that had a really good experience and a safe experience, which I'm hoping is a bigger percentage of them, I think next year they may think twice and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I did last year. That worked out better. It was easier. And so hopefully I think this is a good boost for the industry. I believe it was.
I think absolutely. That's what I think the hidden gem of this year was.
Yeah.
You know, we were blessed with a great year. But I think the real gem of it is our market expanded this year. Yes. You know, a lot of people that never bought fireworks bought fireworks this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, because they all went to the town show, like you said, or they were at the lake and went to the lake show, or they were, you know, summer vacation or anything. So all that stuff was gone.
Yeah.
And I think they were like, okay, we have to have something to do. And hey, guess what? It's 4th of July. So they bought some fireworks and they said, wow, this was really fun.
Yeah.
And so that market grew. Yeah, there you go, Larry. And I think they're going to come back. You know, I mean, yeah. I said, if our market was this wide, now it's this wide.
Yeah.
You know, just a greater pool of people that are now tuned in to consumer fireworks. And I think that'll pay dividends for the industry for decades.
I think so too. Like I say, it's taken decades to get flatter and flatter and more stale. And I think this is a really good boost. And we may not see the same sales we saw this year, but we're going to see an increase from probably last year, you know, or, you know, 2019.
And that's why I think that it's important for the NFA to stay operational and up full bore and have the expo and get this safety out there. You know, now more than ever, we need to promote safety and teach people how to use these things and help them get better at them and be very proactive with that. That's what I think is so important.
And I'm kind of happy that the NFA is doing the expo because it just, you know, so many people, you know, like we talked about Baltimore or whatever, canceling their show way early. You know, so many people just PGI just said, ah, you know what, we're going to stop. It's just, you know, too hard. So I kind of glad that the NFA is doing something and still promoting fireworks, promoting safety, and we're still going to hold a convention, a little different format and maybe a little different feel, but we're still doing something where everybody else in the industry is just seem to be like, oh, well, we're done. Now, have we APA, when is that usually? That's usually coming, that's usually right around now, right? So did they cancel or what did they end
up doing? They canceled.
Okay. Yeah. So, I think that says a lot about the NFA in itself, that we're going the extra mile to still continue some type of normal convention, where we could have easily said back in what, March, we could have said, well, we're done. You know, we're not going to do it this year, but we did. So, you know, and whether it'll come back to bite us or not, we don't know, but at least we are, believe we're doing the right thing anyways, and keeping people in the loop. And like I said, it's going to be a good convention, especially for, like I say, a big mass of the people are domestic buyers anyway, so they're not going to be changed for them, and they're still going to see some great product out there. And,
Right. Well, so yeah, if you never try, you never fail. And if you never fail, you never learn.
Ah, yep. Whose quote is that, Steve?
I don't know. I think that's a permutation of Thomas Edison.
Michael Jordan's quote was, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. There you go. Well, and I think to Steve's point, because there is such an awareness of fireworks now with the people, just the grocery store clerk or whoever just buying, and they're like, what is this? They've never seen a 500-gram cake. They know what firecrackers look like and sparklers, but... bottle, you know what I mean? So just now that awareness is so peaked, it is, I think the biggest message out there should be, as Steve said, would be safety, right? That would be bigger. But Steve, I think the hidden gem was you on CNN. We're going to see you in a movie with Brad Pitt soon or something.
Well, there we go. They'll probably give me a bit part, and I'll say, you know, can I hold your bag, sir?
The hidden gem is going to be Steve's movie career. So,
and, yeah, there we go. Oh, boy.
Speaking of movies, we'll go out with a couple of quotes. We got the top 100 movie quotes, Steve. What do you think, like, what would be your top movie quote of all time, do you think? Do you want me to give you a quote so you can tell me what movie it's from?
Well, okay, why don't you try that? We'll see
I'll give you the top four, starting at number four. This one you're going to get. Toto, I've got a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yep, Wizard of Oz.
1939. All right, number three, you don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am.
Ooh.
That's always been one of my
favorites. Is that
54.
Somebody.
Oh, that's a boxing movie.
Yes.
I can't think of the name.
It's on the waterfront.
Okay.
1954.
Yeah, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Number two.
Oh, great movie.
I make those offers on a daily basis.
Godfather.
I was going to say, come in here because, you know, that movie's so famous.
Yep. Number one from 1939, Gone with the Wind.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
I actually thought you're going to need a bigger boat from Jaws would have been like number one, but it was actually number 35. So, but there, sure. That's AFI's top 100 movie quotes.
My grandma told me, she was, I remember sitting around one time playing Trivial Pursuit, and that question came up, like, what movie is that from? And my grandma told me that when that movie first came out in the 1930s, it was the first movie to ever have profanity in it. Boy, how far have we come? Yeah, that was the first movie line that ever had profanity. And that was, I'm thinking, wow, they could only see us now.
No, God, yeah. How about, I didn't see it entirely, but, you know, we see all those Dean Martin roasts from years ago, and, you know, Frank Sinatra roast and all those, and they were done with such humor, but very little profanity. Yeah. And then, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago, they did one for President Trump before he was president, and it was so sarcastic and so just raunchy. You know, the other guys had such a way of having fun without using all these swear words and all these just really bad jokes. And so I don't know if you guys ever saw that. It was a roast for Donald Trump, but it was just tasteless. I mean, it was just so raunchy compared to how funny and humorous all the other old roasts were without all that language. It was really
those old ones were classy.
Oh my God. So funny.
It was intelligent. I just saw one the other day. It was a roast of Don Rickles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, old Don Rickles. I mean, you know, and yeah, I mean, it was all clean, you know.
Yeah. I mean, and hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah,
Fox, Foster Brooks, those were all classics. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's why I watch old movie clips of Johnny Carson, because I think in my eyes he was one of the best, and he didn't even have to say anything. He would just look at the audience and you'd crack up, you know. And I just love some of those old shows to where we have become now. It's just so raunchy and just unbelievable. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
All right. Well, do you have a quote for us, Steve, as we exit?
Well, you want to stick with the movie thing?
Sure.
Okay. Oh. So, okay, this is a pretty good one. This kind of goes for what we're doing here with this expo, right? And I'll try to do the inflection, but don't make fun of me. Hoo-ah! I'm just getting warmed up.
Oh, there you go. Love it.
Yeah, Al Pacino.
Scent of a Woman.
Yes.
There you go. On the list.
There you go.
Yep.
I like that. Yeah. I like it. Well, guys, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And hopefully we'll be able to see you in September. It's September 8th, right?
Oh, that's one right. More question. How does that work? Because, you know, I don't really watch a lot of news and all that stuff. I try and stay away from all the depressing stuff. So how does that work with the – like, I think we're the same way, Ron. We're from Chicago, so if we travel somewhere and come back, we have to be quarantined for 14 days. How is that even being enforced, or how do I mean?
Well, that's
I
don't just, understand that. That's just Chicago, John. You and I don't live in Chicago.
Oh, but I'm okay. But say we did. How does that actually work, or who enforces that, or do you have to check in somewhere? I mean, I went to Mexico 2 weeks ago, and basically, they took my temperature when I got off the plane. I signed a form saying I wasn't sick. And then that was it. And 5 days later, I was back on the plane coming home. And then so I don't know how that works. I really don't. You know, like for people who are concerned about it, you know, like in your case, Ron, but like say you don't live in Chicago. If you did, I guess if you never told your bank you were going on a vacation out of the state, I mean, I don't understand how anyone knows.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I mean, yeah, they would know. And at the bank, actually, if I went to Tennessee, if I do go to Tennessee, I think I would just be respectful of my coworkers and I would just self quarantine anyway, because I could work from home. So it wouldn't be a problem for me. I think it's an honor system. I don't think Lori Lightfoot's going to come to the door and give you a bill give you a ticket.
You never know with her. You don't know.
you got time for a funny story, I can tell you. So before everybody came back to work at the bank, You know, they're letting people come in phases, but it was July 6th, right after the 4th. Everybody had to do a online doctor's visit. So, you know, you had to fill out a questionnaire ahead of time. And then on a certain day at a certain time, you had to get on your computer, on your phone, and you had to have a virtual doctor's visit, right? And one of the questions on the questionnaire, besides, you know, date of birth, age, all that other stuff, was, do you think you're high risk? And so I put down yes, right? So, and then, so we get to the time where it's my meeting and I'm getting ready to go to work, and the meeting comes up and it's some lady, she might've been in Cambodia. I have no idea where she was, but she's obviously sitting in her living room. She had zero sense of humor. So I get on the phone with her, and she looks at my questionnaire and she says, "Well, you're saying that you believe you're high risk. Is that because of your age?" And I go, "No, it's because of my weight." I said, "Now you're calling me old and fat." And she wasn't laughing. But then she said, "Well, have you had any recent thoughts of any recent bouts with depression or suicide?" I said, "Yeah, right now after this call." And she still had no sense of
nothing. Done.
Man, but they're doing everything at the bank. So I think it would be an honor system type thing. I think you would, if you're doing it, you're doing it. If you're not, you're not. But I think out of respect to my coworkers, I would just stay home and, you know.
But see, that's probably the honor system. It's the honor system, kind of like delivering fireworks via Uber drivers.
Exactly. See, now that goes to show you the difference between me and Ron. Out of respect for my coworkers, there are certain coworkers I really don't like, and those would be the ones I would go in the office for, and I would like hang around with them, and you know, let me get you that cup of coffee. I'd give them the coffee. See, that's where we differ. You know, I want to get, you know, if I'm gonna get it, you know, I'm going after it. You know, you're not gonna be wrong.
That's why you two are a good team. You got yin and yang.
Ron, can I give a suggestion for the fireworks brigade?
Yeah.
Last year you guys were giving out T-shirts. This year, if you guys come down, you guys should give out Macs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we should
make that happen.
Yeah, we should get fireworks brigade masks done. We had some. We God only knows where they're at. We ordered some from China before, special printed ones with Wise Guy brand on them, and I don't even know where they are at right now. Somewhere, but. Oh, well. But, yeah, maybe that might be a good idea, Ron, just some masks to give away, you know. I don't know. You know, I'm after spending so much time in North Dakota where no masks were required, and I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin where no masks were required. When I come back to Illinois, I really, you know, the other day I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I had no mask in the car, no drive-thru, so I actually put a napkin on my face to go and order one cup of coffee. And then I couldn't get the rubber band off of my money to pay the lady because I had to hold the mask up with my – I had to hold the napkin up to my face. So I end up throwing the money on the counter. I'm like, here, take it out of the rubber band. And just – I go, don't take more than you need. So – but I don't know. My temper is just is running short with all this stuff. I just – it's – even though, like, I mean, in the beginning I was all on top of it and all over it. But it seems like now because I had that – where I didn't have to wear it, now I come back here and I have to wear it. It's just like really, I don't know. It's just growing on me now. It's my temper. It's just I see it not good, you know.
Yeah, well, and, North Dakota is on the list of places for Illinois now, or for Chicago. They put North Dakota on the list. Yeah, if you go to North Dakota, you're supposed to quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah, well, she'll put anything on the list. She'll put every. She'll start putting Schiller Park on the list. Yeah. But, yeah, so I don't know, you know, hopefully, you know, and what I really hate the most is when I talk to people I know and they say, well, this is the new normal. And I really take offense to that. Like, no, this is not the new normal. We better start living and figure this stuff out because this is not the new normal. Yeah.
Whoever quoted that new normal phrase, that thing needs to go away. No.
Yeah, I really take offense to that. Yeah,
I hear that every day. In fact, I had a meeting with my boss this morning and he kept saying that. And I kept saying, you know, I'm old school. You want me to bring in and produce new business. I'm not going to get any new business by sitting in here and talking to people virtually. It's not going to happen. Just you have to go out. And 90% of the customers are happy to see me. You wear a mask, you social distance. The only good thing that's going to come out of this is you don't have to wear a suit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Perfect for me sitting in D.C.
Maybe now I could probably start wearing them. Since you guys won't be wearing them, they should be. They'll probably go on sale now, and maybe I could get one.
You gonna finally afford one?
Because then I could have, I could have been somebody.
Could have been a contender.
All right, guys. As always, thanks a lot. We'll be in touch. Okay.
Okay.
All right, that was a good interview with Steve and Larry.
That was awesome. Yeah, It's always good to see Steve and Larry. The backdrop of Steve. He's got his Texas Outlaw shirt on.
Yeah,
had a fireworks brigade that you pointed out there. Yeah,
is it? It's like playing pyro, match.com, right? You're trying to make sure enough people come. You want to make sure. So we can't stress enough, if people, if you're so inclined, get out to Expo, because it is a good fundraising thing. And NFA does so much for so many people. So, but that's it, John. It's been a full episode. This is 97.
We're getting our way up there.
I know. I'm fearful that 100 isn't going to be what we thought it would be, because we were planning on some big things at Expo, and maybe there's not going to be people there or whatever. Pauline suggested we should just do episode 100 in your living room, where we started with episode 1.
That's very stupid. On that note, adios, amigos.
All right, let's go. We're going to get out of here. We'll see you on episode 98. Please watch our YouTube channel. We got a lot of good stuff. Every week we've been putting out a new unboxing, because we did a bunch while we were in Fargo. So get those. Watch those. Watch Masterclass. Subscribe. We're almost at 900, John. We're getting there slowly but surely. So we'll talk to you on episode 98. So long, everybody.
So long. I feel sure you like that one. That's stupid. Oh, man. Not even a rebuttal. That's stupid. End of story.